What's going on, my friend? This is Alex Pardo. You're listening to episode 357 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my people? So a lot going on in my world here. I am looking forward to delivering part two on lead management best practices. I want to refer you to episode 355. So as with all our episodes, if you just go to flipempire.com/episode355, or of course on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, etc., most of those platforms have the Flip Empire. So make sure to check out episode 355, where that's part one on some lead management best practices, you know, how you can best maximize your opportunities if you're a direct-to-seller model, some basics when it comes to lead management. And in part two here, I want to get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty. I have a lot of content to cover here, so my guess is this is going to be part two of probably a 3 to 4, maybe even 3 to 5 part series. So let's dive right into it here, okay? Because I always have questions about lead management and follow-up and how to make sure that we're, you know, converting leads to appointments, appointments to contracts, etc. And by the way, you know, just again, as always being upfront, that's been a challenge for us this year. You know, we're in a competitive market and it's become more challenging. You know, our KPIs have gone up. In some cases, it's gone down depending on what the KPI is. So you always have to, you always got to stress test your system. You always got to figure out how you can do more with less. That's really the theme that we've been operating here in Q3 and heading into really Q4, I should say, is how do we do more with less? All right, how do we become leaner? How do we reduce overhead, maximize profits, etc.? So on that note, just as a high level, some basic KPIs that you guys want to be tracking. Obviously, you want to track how many leads your marketing department or your marketing machine is generating on a weekly basis. And when I talk about leads, guys, I'm talking about net leads. In other words, somebody who calls or raises their hand, submits a web form on your website, they reply to a text, and they say, I'm interested in selling my property. That's a lead. A call and a hang up that you never, you know, are able to get in contact with, or somebody that says, hey, take me off your list, or I'm not interested, or go kick rocks, or any other colorful language we have heard. By the way, I'd love to hear some of your some of the voicemails that you guys have received throughout the years. We got some really, really funny ones. But anyway, those are not leads. I'm not interested, wrong number, take me off your list. That's not a lead. That might be considered a gross lead, but we don't track those. We track net leads. So you want to track how many leads does it take you to get to an appointment and how many appointments to a contract. Here's what I'll mention on this, because oftentimes people are always asking about, hey, what are your KPIs? What are your numbers? The truth is, it doesn't matter. There's so many variables at play that going off of somebody else's KPIs can be very misguided at times. It's just misleading. You know, chances are it's in a different market. And even if it's in your same market, you know, what list are you hitting? What time of the day did they call? Who took that? I mean, there's just so many variables that I would encourage you not to put a lot of emphasis on other people's KPIs. But in a nutshell, you obviously want to be tracking how many leads your marketing department is generating each week. How many leads does it take you to get to an appointment? How many appointments does it take you to get to a contract, a signed contract? Now, if you have more of a phone model, you know, it could be how many meaningful conversations you had, or how many offers you submitted on the phone, right? How many of those offers got accepted? So how many leads does it take you to get to an offer? And then how many of those offers got accepted? So you might have to tweak this depending on your model. Now, before we get into the follow-up, remember that you have existing deals and opportunities in your lead pipeline. You know, chances are, if you have any number of leads in your pipeline, there's opportunities there. Now, they may not be straight wholesale opportunities where you can buy the property at a deep discount, but there might be a listing opportunity, there might be a seller financing opportunity, or some type of creative deal structure. So don't always just focus on new lead generation. Yes, generating leads is obviously important. I'm not downplaying the significance of that. What I am saying, though, is that the most expensive lead you have is the one you don't have. Or I'm sorry, the most expensive lead that you need to generate is the one that you don't have. You've already paid good hard-earned cash for these leads, or maybe you partnered with someone. The point is that there's probably existing opportunities in your CRM, in your database. So don't neglect those, okay? Make sure that you're maximizing. And that's what this, you know, 3-4-5-part series on lead management is meant to do, is so that you can maximize and get the most juice out of the squeeze. So here's what I'll say. For us, and again, take this with a grain of salt, because for you it might be different, a good 70 to 80% of the deals we close, if not higher, come from the follow-up. Very few, I can think off the top of my head, maybe a couple in the last year to year and a half that we've just bought on the first phone call. Boom, we did it on the phone, or an appointment was, I mean, just, yes, it happens. And maybe I'm not in the day-to-day, and I'm not in the weeds with this stuff. Maybe there's more, but a good majority of our deals come from the follow-up. So you got to understand that a good follow-up system, it's basically about taking the seller from where they are to their picture perfect scenario. Okay. John Martinez is somebody who talks about, you know, the diagnostic. You talk about, you got to ask problem questions, impact questions, picture perfect questions. That's what a really good follow-up system does. It takes the seller from where they are to their picture perfect scenario. Okay. And a good follow-up system, in my opinion, has a combination of, you know, warm human interaction combined with, you know, technology, essentially, and automation. You know, we're so fortunate that with technology, you know, we can, like in our Podio system, we can click a button and it will automatically follow up with the seller with a series of emails, text messages. There's several ways that you can stay in front of the seller. Now, keep in mind, obviously, make sure that however you communicate with your sellers is above board, that you've gotten permission, that it's legal. You know, you don't want to like cross any lines and get yourself into any trouble. So I will just mention that quick note. But again, a good follow-up system combines human interaction. You can't automate everything. Like, yes, you can automate a lot of it, but at the end of the day, we're still in a people business. You know, you still got to interact with these people. However, whether it's being done online, through text message, in person, on the phone, I mean, you still got to interact. So I really think a good follow-up system has a combination of both. And when it comes to follow-up, you know, you got to design what's called follow-up sequences. And ideally, you have different tailored or crafted messages depending on the type of situation the seller's in, right? So in an ideal world, you have a follow-up sequence, you know, that consists of different ways to communicate with the seller, whether it's text message, voicemails, emails, letters or postcards. So for example, you might have a follow-up sequence that's specifically triggered for when somebody inherits a property. Or you might have a different follow-up sequence for somebody who it's in probate, or they lost a loved one. For somebody who's behind on their taxes, you might have a different crafted set of messages that make up a follow-up sequence of different ways to communicate with the seller. What I would recommend is don't get overwhelmed by the fact that you need to have all these different follow-up sequences. The truth is there's a lot of different situations that we don't have follow-up sequences crafted for. The point is to start. Maybe think about the type of seller / lead that calls in the most, or let's say it's a tax delinquent list or a tax default list that you market to. You know, maybe this week focus on crafting 5 messages that speak to somebody who's behind on taxes. And those messages can consist of, again, emails, text messages, voicemails. It could be a mail piece, like a letter or a postcard. And here's the last thing I want to mention on follow-up sequences. Always aim to deliver value. Don't just, to me, a wasted follow-up is, hey, just touching base to see how you're doing, touching base to see how you know, how things are going with the property. Yes, that's better than nothing, but a better follow-up message is maybe, hey, here's a blog post or here's a video on, you know, some resources that can help you with your situation. For example, I'm shooting from the hip here, but you get the idea. The aim and the goal is always to provide value, okay, to the homeowner. That's what most people aren't doing. And quite honestly, that's what internally we can probably be doing a better job of as well. So as far as your the team, you know, everybody listening to this is going to have probably a different makeup as far as your team is concerned. But if you're a direct to seller, you know, and you're doing a lot of marketing, chances are you probably have a lead manager. That lead manager's responsibilities is basically lead intake, lead screening, appointment scheduling, follow up, and nurture. Okay. At least for us, that's what it is. And then you have an acquisitions manager, an acquisition specialist who, you know, that person is responsible for going out, meeting with the seller, meeting with the right sellers, and essentially taking them through the sales process and getting that property under contract. Most sales managers, at least in my experience, are they don't necessarily like the follow-up. They don't really like being on the phone. Now, of course, you're going to have your exception here or there. But for the most part, a really good salesperson, they want to get in front of the right people, take them through a sales process, add value, help them, and close and get properties under contract. So, you know, again, take everything with a grain of salt. Your situation might be different. How many leads are you generating? Your market, etc. But for the most part, I'm not crazy about sending, you know, having your acquisitions managers, your acquisition specialists do lead intake and taking calls live. Now, if they're not at an appointment, it's always a backup. Like we have a system through CallRail where when a call comes in, it rings to three or four different people's numbers. And it's the lead manager's responsibility to take that call live, but you know, she might be on a call or she might be just tied up. And so, it's good to have a little bit of that redundancy where we have other team members that can take that call. Now, as far as lead intake, I've published a lot of podcast episodes about the sales process and, you know, building relationships, rapport, qualifying leads. Here's how I want to just summarize this section for the purpose of this podcast. Understand that a seller's motivation is basically, it's just a distance between where they're at and where they want to be. So your lead manager, whoever's on the phone, what you want to do is magnify that gap. Okay, you want to create a situation where the seller understands they feel pain from where they are, and you can bridge that gap and show them how you can get them to their picture perfect. Now, this might be a lot easier in person, but it can definitely be done on the phone. And here's the other thing I'll say is make sure that you're not accepting. One of the most important questions you can be asking is, hey, you know, why are you interested in selling? What prompted you to reach out to us? Oftentimes you're going to hear, oh, you sent me a letter, you sent me a mail piece, etc. Dig in and say, well, if you don't mind me asking, you know, it sounds like a great property. You know, what made you even look into wanting to sell this property? Don't accept the first response you get. You may or may not get an answer, but oftentimes that's surface level motivation. So don't be lazy. Dig in a little bit, and you'll be able to uncover, you know, real motivation. If the person actually has motivation, and if you or the person handling your calls is doing a good job of taking the person through the script, and really diagnosing what the pain is and what their picture perfect is. On the next episode, I'm going to talk about the process of scheduling the appointment, how that looks. Once the appointment is scheduled, what's the process there, the in-person appointment process, etc. Here's what I want to leave you with. Make sure that you have somebody on your team, or even if it's you, that at least once or twice a week, you're doing some quality control. Earlier this year, I hired a lead audit manager. She had a baby several months ago, so she's on leave at the moment, but we hired someone specifically that would listen to calls on a weekly basis, listen to appointments, and essentially provide feedback and coaching and make sure that, because I got to tell you, you know, from time to time I hear calls, and even the best people on the phone can sometimes struggle because it's a volume game, right? I hear calls sometimes that just make you want to cringe. that you're like, oh, that was such a missed opportunity. You know, like this was an opportunity to go dig deeper. Or why didn't you ask this question? Or you forgot to ask for their email, or if it's a mobile number, or, you know, other decision makers, you know, who else is going to be impacted by the sale? Like there's, that's why it's so important to have processes and systems and checklists. And if you have a lead audit manager or somebody that's doing some quality control, you're going to pick up missed opportunities. And just keep in mind that one of these phone calls could represent $15, $20, $30, $50, $100,000, six-figure deals in some cases. So I encourage you, I'm not telling you to go out necessarily and hire a lead audit manager, but what I am recommending is that you carve out some time on a weekly basis to do some quality control. And what I find is that when your lead manager or your acquisitions team, when they know that the leads are being inspected, they're going to know what's expected. Okay, inspect what you expect. I forgot where I heard that, but it rings true here. So, and then the biggest thing is provide ongoing coaching and feedback to them, and then make sure that they're improving on the things that you give them the feedback on. So, again, that's where I want to end part two here. Part three, I want to talk about, you know, the process of scheduling the appointment and take it from there. So, if you're getting any value from this, let me know. Share this podcast with somebody. If you can, you know, go to flipempire.com/iTunes. Just take a quick minute or two to leave me a rating and review. It really helps as far as the ranking of the show. And I've had quite a few people reach out to me about our Ascend coaching and mastermind group. Earlier this month, we had our first retreat in Miami. It was a huge, huge success. You may have seen some videos and pictures on social media. So we are quickly filling up our second and final group. And so if you have any interest in that and you think you might be the right fit, it's application and interview process. Go to ascendyoursuccess.com. Thank you, my friend. I will talk to you soon. This show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show, but we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.